Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today, I will be interviewing Stephen Glaze. Make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll receive alerts when new episodes are available each week on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
So, Stephen, the Kansas City Chiefs, they are... seem to be doing pretty well this year since they won the Super Bowl last year. You have probably one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Have you been watching any of the games?
Absolutely. I watch every game. You know, I'm actually a season ticket holder, but this year, because of the craziness with the corona, they're only allowing, you know, stadium seats 70,000 people. They're only allowing like, you know, 15 or 20,000 in there. And so I haven't gone to any of the games this year, but yeah, big Chiefs fan.
Oh, wow. Well, it's good that you all are allowing some fans because quite a few states, they aren't allowing any fans right now. So I guess that's a good thing, but just have to be cautious. So I know you, you began business pretty early. What was the motivating factor, you think, to get into the exterior and home remodeling industry?
You know, my father owned a roofing business, and I started working for him at an early age. I mean, I was working when I was in high school. During the summers, I was working for my father's business, and I was selling as a salesperson, selling the roofs and to homeowners. And was making pretty good money, really phenomenal money for a high school kid, and then right out of college or right out of high school, I was doing that in the summer times, and I was going to community college, and making more money than some people were, with the graduating from college with a degree and getting their first job, and I was already well ahead of that. And so I just decided, I couldn't beat it. And so I just started growing with that and pursuing that more and more. And that's kind of where I became now.
So were you involved in anything extracurricular activities when you were, in high school? Or you just basically just dedicated most of your time to business?
No, I was really into basketball. I played a lot of basketball in high school. We had a really good basketball team, won state championship and all that stuff. So I was really into basketball, but during the summer times, I was working full time.
Did you go to college, or you just pretty much just transitioned it?
I did 2 years of community college.
Okay. Wow. That's pretty cool. So what, did your father really mentor you when you were coming up to get into the business or did you just observe him and just got the bug that way?
I observed him, and I mean, honestly, he was from the laborer side. He was a carpenter and got into just taking on more and more jobs by himself, and then got into roofing. And so he kind of came up from that side of it. Whereas my, upbringing was always on the sales side of things. And so I never really put a roof on or never really did any of the actual building. And so, and I was looking for, education outside of, what my dad had offered to become a better salesperson, to build a sales team, to, grow and things like that was always my focus and my passion. And, his was kind of like take care of production and make sure that things get installed correctly and all of that. So I didn't really get a lot. I don't think as far as the growing the business and all of that from my father, I kind of brought that to him, learning it from outside and bringing it in and growing his business that way.
So you were managing people when you were rather young?
Yeah, when I was 17, 18 years old, I did basically the process was there was hailstorms come through here quite a bit. And so when a hailstorm would come through and, a whole neighborhood would get hit and they'd all need new roofs. And so the process is you would go out, you would start knocking doors and introducing yourself and asking people if they'd like a free estimate. And so we would, they'd say, sure, I need to get a roof done. And, so we would give them an estimate. we would get that estimate approved with their insurance company. Then we would do the work. I'd order the materials. I would, we'd have a crews that would go out there and do it. And I would go by and check on the crews and make sure they had all the materials they need, make sure they're doing it, you know, the way that we told them to do it. And then we get done and we, you know, take, buy an invoice and collect the money. And so it was a whole process from, you know, introduction to collecting the final payment. I was doing that while I was in high school.
And this is in Kansas City?
Yes.
So how was your, how would you describe your formative years? Do you have any siblings or anything?
Yes, I am in the middle. I've got I've got an older brother and an older sister and a younger brother and a younger sister, and I'm in the middle.
You're in the middle. So are they into business as well?
No. So my sister, she works for a home builder. She's a office manager for a home builder outside. My dad's retired now. That happened about 10 years ago. And then, you know, shortly after that's when, you know, we transitioned into Smart Exteriors, which is, you know, basically my wife and I's business. And, but my daughter worked, early on, she worked for my dad for a little bit. And then she went to work for a home builder. It was more consistent. The one downside to the hail storm restoration business is it's feast or famine. When there's a hail storm, you know, it's great. You make a ton of money. And then when there's not, you know, there's, you know, you can starve to death. And so, she went to work for a home builder looking just for more consistency. My younger sister, she's a stay-at-home mom, and my brother, he's a framer. He builds stuff.
Wow. So do you, looking back right now, did you notice anything about the way you thought and saw things versus the way your friends saw things when you were a teenager?
You know, for me, I was very competitive, and, you know, I mean, I got that through sports and playing basketball and all of that. And, you know, I think I realized that, you know, I wasn't going to play college basketball at a high level. I mean, there's some like small NAIA schools that I could have went and played and stuff like that, but that's not really what I wanted to do. And so, sales became that, fed that competitiveness. You know, I liked having, you know, where I was working for my dad, there's four or five other salesmen. There's these other companies we're competing against. And, I really took to that and I liked the competitive nature of it. And that's really what drove me, I think. And that was kind of what maybe was different than some of my other friends who just didn't have the ambition or motivation.
Okay. And why do you think you've been successful at business? What are some factors do you believe?
I think that the competitiveness has something to do with it. I mean, it's so many people get complacent even with success. You know, they become successful, they reach a certain level of success where they're paying their bills, their, you know, life is going along just fine, and they get comfortable and they stop trying to get better and stop trying to grow. Whereas with me, you know, it's not about the money. And so, you know, for me, it's always about just, I look at companies that are bigger than me and more successful than me, and I, you know, want to compete. So I'm always trying to grow and think, how can we do better next year than we did last year? And, that's a driving force for our business.
So how tough do you think it is to succeed in the construction industry in itself?
You know, I was talking to someone about this the other day, and they were asking me about how competitive it was. And I was telling them that there are a lot of competitors in our industry. I mean, there's a lot of companies, you know, in Kansas City alone. I mean, there's probably 200 different companies that you could hire to put siding on, maybe more than that. Little guys I don't know about, but there's not a lot of good competitors. You know, again, most of them are just complacent, and they just are, you know, happy with what they're doing. So I think you got to start from a sales perspective. I mean, because that's the first thing. If you're going to start a business, the first thing you got to do is get a customer, you know. And so you could be the best, you know, remodeler in the world, but if nobody knows about it and nobody knows about you, and you don't have the ability to communicate that to someone, you're not going to be successful. So I think that that's the, you know, if you come at it from a sales standpoint, you learn that process first. I think you got your foot in the door. Then it's about finding really good people to produce the work that you sell. And, you know, that's right now it's actually a little bit of a challenge. It's kind of a shortage of good workers. But I think if you come at it from a sales standpoint and you stay motivated and you stay driven, I don't think it's difficult, really.
So you mentioned a couple of things there. So how can someone, gain a better understanding of sales when they are trying to begin a business, particularly the construction business?
You know, my recommendation would be to go work for somebody. Go find a really successful company that has a you know, a sales manager and a sales process, you know, and go work for them. There are some companies out there that do that. They'll hire just about anybody, and if you're willing to train in strictly commission, you only get paid if you sell. And I would recommend going through that process and, you know, having them teach you how to sell. And then once you get that down, now you know how to sell, you know how to communicate, and now you got to figure out how to market, because you got to figure out how to get in front of somebody. And that was the first challenge I had, was I knew how to sell, but I didn't know how to get in front of anybody. So they have services, like there's one of them, for example, is called Home Advisor. Home Advisor is a company that advertises online for all these different services. And then if you're a homeowner and you go online and you're searching for this service, let's say you want to get your carpet replaced, you would enter your information. They then take that information and they sell it to three different carpet installers, and so you can basically buy leads. You buy the opportunity to talk to these people. And that's why I started, as I would purchase these leads and I would call these people, and then I would go out and I was good at communicating, you know, my differentiation from me and my competitors, and I would start selling jobs that way. And that's how I got started. And then, you know, as I grew, I started focusing on marketing myself, and as opposed to going through these other companies online and things like that. But that's the process.
Okay. And what, I guess, classifies a company as being a good competitor? Because you mentioned that earlier.
I think a good competitor is one that does high quality work, one that charges the proper margins to run a business. You know, I mean, it's hard to compete with a guy that, for example, if a guy, when he first starts and it's just him, a lot of times when he goes to estimate a job, he's figuring up what his labor costs are, what his material costs are, and then he's adding a little profit margin on for himself. That, to me, is not a good competitor. A good competitor is one that has, you know, full business, and they figure, you know, their labor costs, their material costs, and then the overhead cost of running a business, and then profit on top of that. And so they're charging, you know, quite a bit more than that, you know, guy that's working by himself out of his truck. But they do really good work, and they have a good reputation. And those are the people that I consider to be good competitors.
How important is having a good reputation in business? How impactful can that be?
I would say it's the number one most important thing. When I first started, I didn't have that, because you're just starting out, right? And you don't have any previous customers. You don't have that reputation. As I built that, and I built that through a couple of things. The first thing I did was my Google My Business page. Every business, you can get a Google My Business page and it gets verified, and then you set that up, and then customers can leave reviews on there. And when I first started the business, I didn't ever ask for a review. I started getting some reviews just because we did good work and people liked me. But I never really pursued it until I realized how valuable it was. And now we have a whole process where every time that we do a job for someone, they get an email that day that we finish asking for a review. They get 2 days later, they get another email asking for a review. And then 2 weeks later, they get the final email asking for a review. And it's got links, so it makes it easy where they just click on the link and do it. At the end of each job, we send it, you know, they get a box of brownies, you know, say thanks for the business. And so we really push that hard to get those reviews, because what we've found is that that's what most customers, before I ever go out and meet them, have visited my website and read my reviews. And so by the time I show up, they already have a pretty good idea that you know, we're a good company and they'd like to do business with us. It's just, you know, can they afford it? And so it wasn't like that at the beginning, but the reviews changed that. The other thing I did to improve my reputation and create myself and position myself as an expert is I wrote a book on, you know, siding in Kansas City and all the different types of siding materials and some of the warranties and features and benefits of the different products and things like that. And so that's a powerful tool that I use to, you know, create business for myself and set myself up as the expert in Kansas City.
So how important is it for someone to utilize the internet and technology?
You know, you know, when my dad started his business, it was simple. You bought a full page ad in the Metro phone book, and it was like back in the, it was like $50,000. It was very expensive, but there's only, you know, five or six companies that did it, spent the money, but that would give you enough business for the whole year. People would open the phone book every time they needed a roof, and they would call you. Well, now obviously that's obsolete. Everyone goes to Google, and I would say if you're not there, you're going to struggle. I think it's imperative. I mean, there are other avenues for advertising, like home shows and you know, fairs and festivals and things like that, set up booths. But I mean, Google is the 800-pound gorilla that, you know, you got to be a part of it or you're missing out.
So what would you say to someone who is in business or would like to start into business, and they don't feel competent to utilize the internet and the technology that's, you know, that at our fingertips right now? What would you say to them?
Make sure that you're charging enough, okay, for your services that you can afford to reinvest back into the business. And when you reinvest back into the business, you hire someone to help you with those things. Okay. So like, for example, we spend 10% of our revenue, it gets spent just on advertising. So if I'm, you know, charging someone $1,000 to do some work on their home, $100 of that's going directly to advertising. So now there's $900 left. You know, then I got to pay my materials. Then I got to pay my supplier. You know, so most people just don't charge enough. That's their biggest thing when they first start off. They think they're trying to sell on price, and they don't charge enough to be able to do the things they need to do to run a successful business.
So it sounds like charging enough will increase your ability to properly serve the customers that you're trying to serve.
Yes, exactly. And the way that you get to the point where you can charge enough is by building that reputation, so that when they're comparing you with your competitors, they're not just looking at the price. They're looking at, wow, I really want to use this guy because he has such great reviews. He has such a great reputation. I really feel comfortable with him. I'll pay a little extra to go with this guy because I feel so much confidence in their ability. And so that's where it kind of snowballs. You got to build that reputation. And so sometimes when you first start off, you might have to take a little less margin to get the jobs, but then you've got to make sure that you capitalize on that by getting a review and building that reputation. And then you slowly start to increase your margins, and then it starts to really, you know, snowball and grow.
So when do you, or what are your thoughts on, okay, you have a roofing business or you have a construction business. How important is it to, I guess, utilize it to have several streams of income within that business?
Well, there's different ways to grow, right? So when my dad had his roofing company, one of the ways that we would grow our business is geographically. We would, if there wasn't a hailstorm in Kansas City, we would go to Omaha, or we go within about a 3 or 4 hour radius. Maybe we go down to, you know, Wichita, Kansas, or Oklahoma City, or, you know, and travel around to grow our business. So you can grow it geographically. Well, for me, and I'm married and I've got kids, and that, you know, that wasn't a great fit. So we grow, one of the ways is by adding other services. So not just doing roofing, but also doing siding and gutters and windows, you know, maybe moving into decks here in the next, you know, very short while. And so that's one way that we grow, is we try and add revenue stream. But you have to be careful and make sure that you're not taking on work that you're not really good at. You know, because you can't sacrifice that reputation at all costs. So you have to make sure that you train guys, you've got, you know, processes in place to be really, really good at whatever it is you add to your services.
So quality is extremely important from, you know, just listening to what you're saying, because the reputation hinges on things as well. So, yeah. So what is the best siding material in your industry?
Well, I think there isn't just one, you know, for every house and every situation is a little bit different. But right now, James Hardy fiber cement siding is probably the best option in most cases. It's the best, what we call hardboard, you know, non-vinyl siding out there. Comes with a 30-year, you know, non-prorated warranty, looks beautiful, doesn't rot, doesn't catch on fire, doesn't, you know, have a lot of the issues that wood has. And so that's what we sell a lot of right now, is the James Hardy fiber cement.
Okay. So I know it's just tough in general to succeed in business, or you have to really go through the process and not jump ship, so to speak, when things are a little rocky. So in this time that we're living in since March of 2020 till now, you know, we've had the COVID situation. So how has COVID affected your sales and the installation processes?
Well, it's been unique because for our industry, it's been a boon in business. So we've had pretty much everyone, I think, in that I've talked to in the home improvement industry is having record years. I think people are home. People, you know, you can imagine even on the remodeling side, you know, people are saying, oh my gosh, I need to have a home office. And so they're remodeling for home offices or home gyms, or, you know, we want to start entertaining at home. We don't go out as much. And so then they start creating these, you know, outdoor spaces and things like this. And so, it's been good for our business. And the fact that we are an exterior business, I think, hasn't really affected our production at all. Whereas the interior guys, I think that's more of a challenge, you know, making sure that, you know, you're safe and, you know, social distancing and all of this. Whereas our guys are outside, we don't really have much interaction with the customers during the construction process. So, we've just been blessed in that it just so happens we're not affected in any negative way by everything that's been going on. But, you know, as it lingers, you know, where it could start to affect our business is, you know, if people aren't making money or they're not securing their jobs, then they're going to stop spending money on, you know, improving their homes and things like this. And so it could turn into an issue, but thus far it hasn't.
So that's really good. I'm glad to hear that things are going well for you all. And I know it will continue to go well. It seems like you're someone who is able to pivot if need be. And how has your gifts been so, have made your business profitable, meaning like the gifts that you have and you utilize, because you marketing seems to be your strong suit, I would say?
Yeah, I think so. I think that we look at, you know, again, early in business, we had a lot of customers that were very happy with the work that we did and they loved us, and they might tell, you know, their neighbor or maybe a family member, but outside of that, nobody really knew. And so I started realizing that, you know, if you do a really great job for someone and the job is super successful and looks beautiful and, you know, nobody really knows about it, it's almost as if it didn't happen. And so you have to market that. So you have to, you know, we do reviews and before and after pictures and put it on the website. And then, you know, one of the things that we do is when we put before and after pictures of a project we've done, we also post the person's review in those with those photos so they can see that, okay, this is what they did and this is how the customer felt about it when they were done. And now anybody who's looking for, you know, at our company online, they see that and they start to, you know, see that over and over and over again. And then they start to, you know, create a belief system that, wow, I can trust these people because of all of the positive experiences that these people have had in the past. And so I think that's been a big strength of ours, you know, is understanding how to market.
You mentioned a little earlier about your dad, how he marketed years ago by putting in an ad or what have you. And things have changed over the years. So how do you think marketing has changed just from 2019 to 2020?
Well, it's gone more online because all of the, you know, I was talking about the guys that did home shows and, you know, they would set up booths at fairs and festivals and things like this. Those all got canceled and those are all went away. And so that forced even more people to go online and seek out, you know, somebody to do the work for the work on their home. And so it's just basically gone even more digital, almost 100%, you know, from 19 to 20. And I think it's going to just continue to trend that way.
So what is your outlook for the home improvement industry going forward?
It continues to be strong. You know, I talk to a lot of people about forecasts and, you know, the one thing about remodeling is even when the economy turns back a little bit, remodeling sometimes picks up because then instead of people buying, you know, say, well, you know what, we can't really afford to buy a new house, but maybe we can just fix up the one we have, you know, and stay here a little longer because, you know, things like that. And so the economy is you know, plays a role in it. And so we'll kind of see where that goes. But, you know, we focus on, even if the pie shrinks a little bit, just getting a bigger piece of it to maintain our you know, numbers that we need to hit to be successful.
So you mentioned about a little about your book earlier. And how has writing your book helped your business?
You know, I'll be honest with you, when I first wrote the book, the idea was we did it for search engine optimization. Basically, you know, Google ranks your website partially on how many other websites link back to your website and also how important those websites that link to you are. So by writing a book and getting it posted on Amazon, it then linked back to my website. And so now you've got Amazon linking to Smart Exterior's website, and that tells Google that, hey, this might be an important business. We might want to improve their rankings a little bit. That was the original reason behind doing that. And but then shortly after that happened, I got called out to give somebody an estimate on their siting. And when I got there, they said, well, we've read your book. As the first time I heard this, I didn't know anybody could, you know, even find it. I didn't even have it on my website. I just had it on Google, on Amazon at the time, but they somehow found it on Amazon, downloaded it, purchased it, read the book, and then had me out there. They were impressed. They didn't get any other estimates. It was a very large, profitable job. I ended up getting the neighbor and then his brother and turned into three or four other big jobs. And so it's been very, very good for my business.
So could you explain a little bit more? You mentioned it. How does the website optimization work? You said it links, Google's ranking goes by how many website links back to you, to your website.
There are a lot of factors that Google uses to rank websites on search engines. So if you type in siding companies, Kansas City, okay, you're going to have 50 or 100 different, you know, links that come up, you know, web pages on their search results. And the way Google determines who's the number one, number two, number three, you know, all down the list, there's a lot of different factors. How well your website's built, you know, the keywords that you have on your website that match up to what people search for, and so on and so on. One of the factors, one of the key factors, is what they call backlinks. That is how many external websites link back to your website. And so, like I just mentioned, so if you go on Amazon and you look up books and you find my book, there's a link there that links back to my website. It talks, you know, this is written by Steve Glaze with Smart Exteriors, and here's the, you know, his website. I have an author page there. And so that the website that I put on there was my company's. When you go to like James Hardy Siding, they list their preferred contractors. There you see Smart Exteriors, and you have a link that'll, you click on it and it'll take you to my website. And so the more different websites that you have, and that they are high value websites that you can go and click on a link and it'll take you to my website, the higher I rank. And so that is something that you want to try and improve if you are trying to, you know, get your website to rank a little higher.
Wow, that's great information, and there's definitely great information what you shared earlier as well about when I asked about people who don't feel the confidence in working with the internet and different technology of, you know, some things you could outsource as you get the funds, you'd be able to do more if you don't already have those that know-how right now.
Right.
Yeah. So what is the name of your book?
So the name of that book is Kansas City Home Buyer's Guide for Siding. And it's for people here in the Kansas City area. I mean, anyone can download it. They're interested in siding. You can go to my website, smartextpros.com, and download a free copy. And if you're thinking about putting siding on your home, some really good information.
And how did you become an award-winning home improvement company? How did that happen?
Well, so basically, like with Angie's List, is one of the awards that we've won, and it's based on positive reviews. And so they rank you there. Casey Blogger is another award that we won, and basically it's just based off of our reputation. These different entities and companies, they rank companies here for different services, and they base it just on their online presence and their online reviews, and that's basically how we've won some of those awards.
So take us through a day in your life right now and how you operate. Like, do you get up a certain time since you own your own business? Do you get up later? Do you get up earlier? Like, take us through that process.
Yeah, so our business, you know, we have ebbs and flows. So like in the spring and the fall, are very busy times. And then in the summer and winter, it's not as busy. But on a typical day, I mean, I'm up, I've got kids, they got to get ready for school. I'm up at 6 o'clock every morning. You know, usually by, 8 o'clock, I like to be at the job site. When we're starting jobs, I like to be there when we get started, just to go over the project with the crews, make sure they understand what, you know, what we're doing, and make sure all the materials are there and everything. And then throughout the day, I'm usually either giving estimates, you know, we have appointments throughout the day. I go by and I take measurements to give estimates and things like that, and checking on the jobs that are going on. Now we're doing a lot of the actual presentation of estimates and things through Zoom. So we'll go out and take the measurements. And then in the evenings, a lot of times I'll have Zoom calls where I'm meeting with customers through Zoom and going over their projects with them. And so my day sometimes will go till 7:30 at night.
Okay. So what valuable, well, what information would you give someone who may be listening, if they wanted to go into business, the construction business or anything, what would you give them? What information would you give them looking back, like now where you are right now, but looking back at a younger Steve when you didn't know as much as you know now?
Document your successes. Every time you have a successful project, somebody is happy with what you've done, document it, get them to write a letter, take pictures, you know, have them leave an online review, somehow document it so that even if you can't, you don't have a website or anything to share it with at that moment, that at some point you're going to have, the ability to put that online, even if it was from a couple of years ago. You want to start documenting all every success that you have so that you can share that with, you know, you can even share that when you go to meet with new customers. You could have it in your presentation book, and you can, you know, have some letters of customers that, you know, have done business with you and some before and after pictures, and you can start with that until you can, you know, build up enough, you know, kind of a money to get the website and really, you know, start doing some of the marketing things. But even before that, just start documenting every success. Make sure you document it.
So I believe greatness, when somebody achieve greatness in whatever area or arena, there's always something that they had to overcome. So what do you think you had to overcome, or what was the most challenging thing you had to overcome in life in order to even get to this space?
You know, that's and it's difficult to come up with. I know, I feel like one of the biggest things I have to overcome now, I feel like, honestly, I feel like it's a lack of education, especially business. I wish I had like an MBA, you know, I wish I knew more about, you know, processes and more of grow the business side of things. You know, I'm strong on sales, I'm strong on marketing, but in terms of, you know, like accounting and finances and structure and all this stuff, there's a lot of things that I wish I knew more about. And so I feel like when I'm competing with some of the more successful businesses, I feel like that's one of the things I'm having to overcome, is I don't have that, you know, business education that maybe some of the other guys do. And so I think that's something that I struggle with.
Okay. So how does your business give back to your community?
So one of the things we do is we are with the Habitat for Humanity, and we volunteer. They fix up these houses here in Kansas City. I'm sure they do this other places as well. And so there's about three a year that we usually donate some sort of, we get with our distributors, they'll donate the materials, we donate the labor, and we'll do a roof or put siding or some windows on some of these houses. And so we give back in that way.
Great. So that's always important for, you know, customers to see businesses just investing into the community as well. So you mentioned you have kids. Are any of them showing the entrepreneurship bug so far?
You know, so I've got my oldest daughter is at KU. She's 20. She's in the ROTC for the Air Force program. She's going to be an officer in the military, and so she's going to do that. But she has some entrepreneurial aspirations outside of that as well. But and then my other two are fifth and sixth grade, and they just want to be YouTube stars, I think, but we'll see how that goes.
So do you, how do you see your business going over the next 30, 40 years and possibly after you're gone? How do you see the legacy of your business rounding out?
Honestly, my end game is I think I'm going to sell it at some point, is to build it up, make it profitable, get it, you know, the processes in place so that it's a business. You know, like right now, I sometimes feel like I own a job, not a business. And, you know, I want to get it to where there's enough people and processes in place that, you know, they don't need me anymore. And then, you know, sell it to someone who wants to take it to the next, you know, the next level and keep growing. It has kind of the same passion that I do. But that's, you know, 20 years down the road. But that's kind of my.
So it sounds like you would like to, at some point, to gain a little more freedom versus feeling like you having a job. Yeah, sure. So could you give us your social media contact website?
The website is www.smartextpros.com. You can find me on LinkedIn at Stephen Glaze, Twitter, same thing, at Stephen Glaze, S-T-E-V-E-N. And yeah, that's the best place to find me.
So what valuable piece of information would you like to leave our audience with? Meaning, what's your one to grow on? What valuable piece of information you've learned throughout your life that would be beneficial?
I always tell people, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You got to take some risk. You got to go for it. You know, don't be afraid to fail. You know, you only have to get it right once, you know, and you can fail many, many times. So just go for it, man. That's what I say.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. This podcast has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum. Head over to www.mauriceflournoy.com to receive more motivation and insight to help create your new mind.